This is Teresa Daniel. Welcome back to part three of the interview with General Hudson Austin that was conducted by George Worm. The general will be setting the stage for the attack on the Grenada Defense Force, the GDF, by the military wing of the New Jewel Movement on the morning of March 13, 1979, to overthrow the Eric Gehry government.
All right, so now let me ask you, because it's already documented in, you know, elsewhere, some of the early struggles y'all had against Gehry, including Long Brownlow, the beatings and whatnot.
Yeah.
Now, the critical question I want to ask you, at what point did it occur to y'all, the NGM, that you had to use force, and that was the only means available to get rid of Gehry? At what point y'all figured
that? We didn't decide that we have to use force against Gehry in the early days. What we decided was we need to protect the leaders. And they decided we need to protect the leaders. The task was given to me, Unison, Teddy, and Sambat to form the NLA, National Liberation Army. And the task fell on me to deal with the men, to train them and all of that. Right? I didn't refuse it because I thought it would have been necessary. Because, you know, at one time the Mongoose gang start beating people and doing all kind of thing in the place. And the government start searching me. This house was searched about 30-something times. Right? I think it's 35 times they searched this house.
For arms and ammunition and all kind of things. Arms and ammunition?
Yeah, looking for arms and ammunition. Till they tried to plant me at all. But what happened is, they take a bag with a rifle and they plant it in a thing stool I had in the back there. I had a big silk, it's still there, silk quick stool. It's still there, silk quick stool still don't be. And what happened is, they came to search. Rain fell the night, but they get a dry bag with a rifle in it.
A dry bag?
Yeah, the bag with the rifle dry. Coming out from a fix too.
So they would have come in the morning and planted?
Huh?
They came, they put it at the same time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They planted. So what happened is when we check, get them to check the rifle numbers and where that rifle was supposed to be located, the check came out because that rifle was supposed to be located in Kerakou. Rifle numbers so destined for Kerakou. They forget who they're dealing with. I know all about the military. I was well trained. I was trained by the British. And he's the first person I'm going to reveal that to because I couldn't ignore, because I have 40 years of secrecy. I couldn't tell it. Couldn't tell nobody that. So you're a lucky person.
So you mean, when you say you got military training from the British, that what you're saying?
Huh?
You got military training from the British?
That's of course. But I was in the volunteer service. They used to take us clandestinely out of this country. Dog to Guyana, I trained. I was trained in jungle warfare, all kind of thing. Right?
So why were they training you? Why were the British training you?
No, because the British then was training people. Right? Because you see certain upheaval start taking place in the Caribbean. And then there was training people. I have also been trained, not only just military, but in investigation, private investigation, all those things. So Gehry didn't really know who he dealing with. And those of us, I am the only one alive today, you know, who went. There was a fella, I should be calling his name anyway, but we were supposed to keep that secret for 40 years. You have to sign a document to keep it secret.
So you actually got external training?
Yeah. Clandestine.
Only from the British, or you got from other? Did you get military training from others apart from the British, or only them?
only the British. People thought I was here in Cuba also. I didn't get no training from Cuba, right? Nonsense. Mm-hmm. I was trained with the British. I was trained in the GVC. My original military training was in GVC. Remember, we had a GVC in those days that was almost better than the police. Mm-hmm. You had men such as Leo de Gale, who was in the World War, right? A lot of men who was in the war, who trained, used to train us. The only girl was head at the GVC. You had again this one, the commissioner of police. He was a World War man. His name was always Eric Holly. And then he had cousins. All these men were men who was in the war. Okay?
Okay. Did the Cubans provide any military assistance to NGM prior to the March
13, 1979? Don't say, don't ask me. We didn't even have contact with them. We didn't even have contact with them. So anybody who say that, they lie. If anybody come and tell them how to not say they lie. Let me tell you that. Let me tell you this. We got all the arms that we got in Grenada. We got some from overseas. But we get nothing from no Cuba. Right?
When you say you get it from...
If you look at the weapons that we use on the morning of March 13, was COT, and we had this American weapon, what they call them, the M1, and pistons and so on. All the weapons we got was good.
Okay, so you all would have been able to get some...
No,
from Gary's own...
That's right. We had intelligence right there.
And so that will take me now also to the question of the arms and ammunition that were allegedly imported through Chester Humphrey and them.
Two?
You know, there was a report that the NGM was able to get barrels of arms and ammunition from the United States via the Chester Humphrey and Wadali connection.
Yes.
So some of those were used in March 13, I presume.
Yes. M1. It's an American weapon.
It's an American weapon. So you all got some from that channel.
Yeah.
Right. Let us look now.
The American doesn't want to tell people how they make the revolution. They get the weapons from Russia.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, let us look now at the actual March 13, 1979 event. Now, there were reports, right, that the NGM chiefs and them, they were deadlocked in the decision on whether to launch the attack on Gary's army at True Blue. And it was said that Bernard Code who played a key role in making that historic decision.
Who that?
It was said that Bernard Code was the one. Okay, what I'm told is that while the NGM leadership was discussing whether or not to strike, that there was a kind of deadlock between some of the leaders, and it was Bernard Code who tilted it and said, look, let us strike. That's what I'm hearing.
That's total bullshit. Let me tell you something. I was in hiding. Like here, they were looking for me.
Mm-hmm.
I was hiding up, but they knew where I was. They knew where I was. They said to call me. I disguised. The fella picked me up in a car because I'm away at the police station down the road.
Right, that is to go into the gravel road.
Just down the road there, where they have other provision place there now.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to pass the police, so I disguised. They said a rented car for me. I said, okay, the back of the car reading a newspaper. And I went to the meeting. So this thing about Bernard Code, you know, they look at Bernard Code, tell him that he always pushing himself. That is not true. The thing about it is, they wanted to know if we are ready to do that job. And so they had to call me. What the hell, Bernard Code know about military? He always pushing himself. He had his satellites.
So that's not true at all. That's
true.
A myth that
I am telling you, that is not true. Boris might have been vacillated as to whether it was the right time for them to call me. He didn't want to call me. He would have, he never liked my head.
Who has Bernard?
Yeah.
Yes. You're going to come into him at
yeah.
Yes. So
because I was so attached to Boris. Mm-hmm. You see, me and Boris. And his every aim was to undermine Boris. His every aim was to undermine Boris.
Now, let me ask you something, Itchy. Is it true that the decision to storm Chulu was influenced by what Chalky and them have said was intelligence information that they had? What they were saying is that Gary had left instructions to liquidate the NGM leaders before he left. And so the decision was taken before he liquidated, let us throw him down.
That is true.
So y'all had intelligence.
Mm-hmm. That is true.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pity to say that the man who gave me that information, everybody running about it, I don't get that information. You know what I mean?
Is you not getting information?
I don't get the information. All of them are running about it, there ain't no truth about it, you know. They know how the information comes, you know. Because as I told you, I did private investigation. That's part of my study. I'm a private investigator. I have a diploma as a private investigator.
So I was, you know, like the good thing I talked
about. I got that decision. I got that information. Listen, let me tell you something. And I'm going to tell you that thing. I had people giving me inside information from almost every government department. I was a civil servant. I was at GVC. I had a contact. Right?
So you were the chief intelligence man?
Yes. I know when Gary entered the plane to leave, and the report come to me right in the house. He's going up on the plane now. I do everything. I was the head of intelligence. You didn't know who was at that time.
Kennedy Butler had said that prior to March 13th, he was part of some operation. It was to go down to one of Gary's hotel in the south. Kennedy Butler was saying that he was part of an operation to go down into one of Gary's hotel in the south. And the intention was to take out Gary that night.
I didn't know about that. Kennedy Butler never say all kind of crazy things. I didn't know nothing about that. Such a decision taken by NJM. I don't know if there are another faction that wanted to do that. But not the original NJM with Boris and Uni and all the top people. I must have known.
You must have known as a military man.
I must know.
Right.
I don't say that. Maybe that's somebody who want to do their thing and they tell me.
But that was not an NGM operation.
That was not an NGM operation. No way. No way.
Now, actually, I've heard that before the NGM military wing went out on a mission for March 13, 1979, that the leaders, meaning Morris and Uni and Bernard came and addressed the troops.
Came by door?
Morris and Unison and them. Right. Before y'all actually stormed True Blue.
Yeah.
That Morris and them had came and addressed y'all.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? And to give all you like a pep talk and
yeah,
say,
that's true.
This is a historic mission that y'all would be on, undertaking.
Yeah.
And after that, they were taken to a secret location, Morris and them. We're taken to a secret
location. That is true.
To await word of the success.
Yeah, that's true.
Do you know where they went into hiding?
Yes, I know.
Would you say, I mean, everybody.
You see, I don't want to jeopardize
certain people.
The people home.
Okay.
But they went to a home not far away too. They were not far away. Not far away from the mountain. That is the area they was in. But I don't want to jeopardize the people home.
Great. I understand your answer. And let's leave it there.
Yeah.
Now, if you all had failed on the mission, if you all were not successful, what would have become of the leaders? Like Morris, Code, White Man, Would they have fled the country? And if so, by what means they would have left the country?
We had plans for that.
And where would they have gone? Would
we
have
had
gone
no plans for that.
You had no plans for that?
No plans for leaving the country. No plans for leaving the country. No plans. Because bear in mind, you wouldn't be so stupid to send all your military men inside at Chublu.
Say it again?
You wouldn't have been so stupid to send all your military men in Chublu.
Okay.
That would have been stupidity.
So you all had some
reserves.
You must
have a backup.
You had a backup?
Of course. You must have a backup.
Which would have taken care of the leadership?
Yeah.
Protect them?
Yeah. Even some of the leaders didn't know about that. And I've been telling you that here tonight. Even some of the very leaders didn't know about that backup. Just some of the military men knew about it.
So tell me a little bit about how you all actually did it.
What?
The overthrow itself. The attack on the Gary barracks.
Listen, let me tell you something, and why I'm telling you here is the truth. The men who went on that attack was trained right down there. You see what we call Freedom Hill on top of the hill there? I was doing the construction there at the time. And the men used to come right down there and get the training where they could see the barracks. You know, that big tall hill there overlooking Chublu. I was in charge of that area.
And you were the principal trainer?
Yeah. All the men used to. Not all, but the main men. Because the men were divided into different groups to attack. They didn't get the final training. We didn't go and confront. Listen, a lot of people don't know. We didn't go inside Chublu from Chublu. We went all the way down to Kialis and come from the back. And when the men get there, they didn't just go and open fire, put the men on the high ground, over the barracks down inside there. Because you can't send your men down there while you're firing bullets. They get killed too. So we take the high ground. They lead in a section. Gahagan lead in a section. Who was the next commander? Lane, Gahagan, I was in command, with full command. Lane and Gahagan, yeah. Because Gahagan has a lot of military sense.
Einstein was one of them commanders?
Huh?
Was Einstein involved?
Yeah, Einstein was there.
He was a commander too?
Yeah, Einstein. That's a good boy, eh? You're a good boy, but I treat him good.
Yeah, we'll probably come to him at some stage.
But I didn't like him too.
So that was basically how we all did the operation.
Yeah.
Because it's history now how the Gary fellas, you know, they ran from the base, they dispersed,
We didn't just go run from there and fire a bullet at the thing. This thing was planned.
Well planned.
Was well planned. People talking about, they hear people talking Spanish to them. Foolishness.
It was a homegrown.
Yeah.
All locally done.
Didn't have a single foreigner involved in the business.
You have just heard part 3 of a very informative interview with General Hudson Austin, one of the important players in the 1979 to 1983 Grenada Revolution. Part 4 will be aired in approximately 2 hours.